This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this July Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Toth.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. In the studio today, we'll be live on location next week.
Yes. Pip.
Party in the park.
Party in the park.
See what this Battle Orbs Bubble Soccer is all about, perhaps.
Sounds solid.
I think we'll be close to the basketball tournament.
Yeah, probably.
Because they had a heck of a crowd.
Maybe we'll see a Battle Orb rolling by.
Well.
It's loose! It's loose!
Quick, somebody stab it with a screwdriver. Let the air out of it. That man's been trapped in there for too long.
They still got that foosball, the human foosball tournament?
Yeah, it's on Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And it'll be the court will still be there, so for people to come by and play open play, it'll still be there Saturday.
They got some fun things at the party.
Oh yeah, they do. Of course, it's going to be right on cue, extremely hot.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't last week.
Yeah. But party in the park. So come pip time, it is summertime.
That's right. That's the place to be.
The
next
dog
weekend.
Days of summer. Ooh,
they have found us.
Yeah, and a good celebration. I can remember the beginnings of Party in the Park. Man, that thing has grown into a terrific celebration at Litchfield. Chamber's done a great job.
So that will come up next week in Litchfield, of course, downtown. Coming up today, bottom of the hour, earlier this week, T-Toad had a chance to catch up with head Pawnee football coach Tim Crotterville. We'll have that conversation coming up at around 9:30. But, of course, this year will be the first year that Lincolnwood kids can go to Pawnee to play football.
That's right. They're doing a co-op program with football and girls basketball. And according to what Tim was telling me, they were talking about maybe doing some other sports, and we'll find out more about that in the interview. You know, one thing I was thinking about Party in the Park? How about a wiffle ball tournament next year?
Ooh, I like that.
Then we could get a Team WISME going.
We could definitely get a Team WISME going.
Yeah.
We'll have to play WISME rules, though. We'll need a penalty hole.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. You know, we have to have a selected special set of rules. That's right.
And, you know, really, if you're going to do a wiffle ball tournament in that type of setting, you need a penalty hole just for time of game.
And you got to have a couple of trees right in the middle of the field.
Of course.
You know, Library Park would be perfect. I'm telling you.
No shortage of trees there.
That's right. Great wiffle ball. Oh, yeah. When was the last time you played wiffle ball?
Oh, boy.
How young were you?
Long time. I was probably in junior high the last time I actually played wiffle ball.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
Always fun, though.
That was great. And the reason that it came to mind, because I bought my grandson a glove and a wiffle ball for his birthday, and we, you know, sent it to Jake. So I... thinking about wiffle ball going, wow. And remember how we used to split the wiffle balls and have to tape them up?
Oh, absolutely. You got to have tape on the wiffle ball. And the bat.
And the bat.
Hey, speaking of little guys playing baseball, I got to say congratulations to the Bunker Hill Blue Jays.
Okay.
They won their Pitching Machine League Championship on Thursday night, defeated a very good team from Staunton. But these little guys, 8 years old, so great. They were second to last year, got so much better. Won the whole thing this year. Only lost one game all year.
That's cool.
So congratulations to the Bunker Hill Blue Jays. And Terry, you've been involved in youth sports and little kid sports for a long time. There's nothing like watching little kids celebrate with that type of joy after something like that happens.
Well, and obviously the older they get, the more skills they acquire. But when you have little kids who are just learning the game and have the enthusiasm for the game, and they realize the safety of the free world is not at stake, it's because it's just a ball game, you know, and then they accomplish something like that, they're all jumping around and going crazy, acting like they've won the World Series, which to them they have,
you know,
and that's the cool thing about it. But it's just the youthful exuberance and the fact that, well, we get to play with my buddy.
That's right.
You know, my friends are playing.
Something great happened after the game. I didn't tell you this off the air, and I won't use the man's name because it was kind of an embarrassing situation. But after the game was over, you know, they got their trophies, were taking the pictures, having a good time. The little kids decided they had a little cooler.
They wanted
to dump the cooler onto the head coach, which they did.
Yes.
It was cute. It worked out very good. But then one of the parents had a big cooler.
Oh, no!
He had a big cooler. And he comes running full bore onto the field. He's going to get the coach. Well, it turns out first base was dirty. He didn't see first base. He tripped. Headlong, cooler goes flying. He crashes into the cooler. And, of course, Terry, I was right in the path. So the entire ice water, right on me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I felt so sorry for him.
Oh, yeah.
He had such, it was a great idea. It was going to work great.
And it's gone viral.
Oh, boy.
if somebody got a video of that, put that on YouTube.
I'm sure it's somewhere.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
someplace.
Sure it's somewhere.
Yeah.
But
and you know, in having little kids participate is so much, and I don't care what the sport is. It's just it's a whole different type of enjoyment, athletic enjoyment. To see the small kids, the little kids play.
And what you ultimately want to see is just see the kids get
improved.
Better individually
yeah. Yeah.
with their individual skills. That's all you want.
Well, and it's also a social thing. I mean,
yeah,
you know, a lot of kids, you know, I think being able to interact socially is just as important as anything else in life. And being part of a team is very important. We're all part of a team here at WSMI, and we enjoy being on the team. And you know, that's... That's part of being a human being, and that's a great experience, you know. And but congratulations to the Blue Jays. So.
Yeah, they were very happy. And you know, like that's in America. There's really, I mean, you associate America and summertime with Little League baseball.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you just play Little League baseball. Whether you play when you're in junior high or high school, it does not matter. All the kids won't still be playing then, but they're playing now and having a heck of a time.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you can say what you want, but it's America's sport.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
returning to that, I think, a little closer as time passes on here with, you know, the various things that other sports go through. I feel like maybe we're starting to fall back in love with baseball.
Well, and the thing about baseball, and the major league owners now are also talking about tweaking things again, which probably, I would say the likelihood of this happening is about 99%. They're going to raise the strike zone a little bit. Do away with the low end of the strike zone, move it up to try and encourage more offense. Because I think, and they're probably correct. I like a 2-1 ball game. I don't have a problem with a 2-1 ball game that's well played. But they realize that offense puts people in the stands.
But how's that going to help?
Well, it's going to force pitchers to come up in the strike zone, which makes the ball more hit.
But everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour. So now all of a sudden they're going to be able to hit high fastballs at 100 miles an hour?
Well, I don't think they're going to raise the strike zone on the upper end.
That's what you said, raise it up.
No, right from the knees up.
Oh, I got you.
They're going to go raise the lower end of the strike zone up to try to force a little more offense, a little more run scoring, a little more home run potential.
But isn't there a bunch of home runs now and a bunch
of
offense
now? Well, to me there seems to be an awful lot of...
I thought the big issue, T, was pace of game.
Well,
and nothing slows down a game like 12-10.
And that's another thing that they're going to try and do is speed up the pace of the game. And they're talking about again having a 20-second pitch clock and stuff like that. And you know, that's all well and good. And they'll try it in the minor leagues. They'll try it in spring training. But then when the season starts, it goes out the door. You know, you're supposed to stay in the batter's box unless you foul the pitch off or get knocked out of the batter's box. And you know, how many times do we see these guys do their batting gloves after every pitch again? We're seeing it again. Yeah. You know, so if you want to speed up the game, there are ways of doing it.
Enforce the rules that are already in place.
Yeah.
Call the current strike zone.
Yeah.
Call it from the knees to the letters, outside black to inside black. The game will speed up.
Sure.
And then guess what? Hitters will adjust.
Hitters will adjust. They will adjust. Absolutely.
Pitchers used to run the game. When did hitters start running the game?
Hitters started running the game when hitters hit home runs and put a lot more people in the stands. That's why the DH came along years ago, because the American League was lagging behind the National League in attendance, and they wanted to put a spark in the game. And they did. I mean, the DH has. It has changed. Major League Baseball. And obviously it's changed baseball up and down. I mean, we see DHs in, you know, high school and college and everything else. And, you know, the question is the National League ever going to adopt it? I think eventually they're probably going to have to. Or they probably will. Not that they have to, but they probably will. Because who wants to see your pitcher up there swing?
I don't.
You know, I think that's probably the most legitimate reason to have a DH. Probably the best reason not to is the strategy that's involved. That would be lost. And that is, to me, is a great part of baseball. But I'm not so sure that that's the part of baseball that intrigues people, the newbies to the sport. The strategy involved. It's more about, you know, the 100 mile an hour fastball versus the guy that can hit it, you know, 10 rows into the stands.
And you're exactly right. But don't you feel that That may be like when you first get into baseball, maybe that's your feeling.
Yeah.
But the more baseball you watch, you would come to appreciate
sure.
those aspects of the game
absolutely.
That make it great. But you're exactly right. Yeah. To get the newbies, mm-hmm. so to speak, interested in
sure.
the sport.
Well, you know, it's kind of rebooting the franchise, and you have to do that once in a while, and the DH in the National League probably would help, to be honest with you. And probably changing the strike zone a little bit to where you don't call that low strike so low. You force pitchers to come up in the strike zone to make the pitch more hittable, would probably add more offense. Well, it's funny to me that when Major League Baseball tries to adjust these things, we've seen now, you know, after coming through the steroid era, now we're seeing pitchers, you know, every team has 100 mile an hour throws, you know. That's so cool. What's the next adjustment for pitching going to be? You know, to me, it would probably be a better selection of pitches, like a split finger fastball or, you know, a better changeup where it's just instead of throwing 100 miles an hour and these sliders, you know, we're seeing way too many sliders that just kind of spin in the middle of the plate and get crushed. What would be the adjustment for pitchers?
A lot has changed in baseball over the years, but a couple things have not changed. Good pitches will get hitters out.
Yes.
Hangers will get crushed. Oh. That was how it was in 1950.
Yeah.
It's how
it was how
now.
It was in 1900.
Yes, that's never going to change. You make a good pitch, you're going to get the hitter out. You make a bad pitch, he's probably going to hit it hard somewhere.
And you know, there's probably one or two people in the league on any given day that you could throw a pitch into the dirt and they'll hit it out of the ballpark just because they are hot and they're seeing the ball
like
very
Vlad
well.
Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah.
That ball bounced.
Yeah, you know, Willie McGee used to do stuff like that. You know, there are certain people that can do that, but that for the most part, that's not the case. And so, I don't know. I think baseball's in for a few changes next year, as far as some of the tweaking of the rules. They do want to speed up the game. I've heard some comments that they thought that the All-Star game was extremely boring. It was a 2-1 ball game.
I heard that the All-Star game was awesome.
I thought the All-Star game was pretty good, personally. It was a 2-1 ball game dominated by great pitching, dominated, the pitcher, the hitters scratched out a couple of runs, and of course it went into extra innings, and Robbie Cano hit a home run, and...
Off the Cubs.
Gosh, you know. Yeah, off the Cubs. Pitcher, yeah. The lone Cub.
The lone Cub.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the team last year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was more of a fun exhibition of baseball, like it should be.
Yeah.
Now that it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I hated it when it had home field tied to it.
That was awful.
It was no good.
Yeah.
No
you know, Bud Selig did a lot of great things for baseball, and really put baseball on a solid financial footing. I think convinced owners, players, that there's a lot of money to be made, and so let's not get super greedy. We can all be happy and be rich.
That's
you know?
And the irony of all that was it really didn't end up affecting the outcomes of the World Series all that much.
No.
Was because throughout the time that it mattered, it was split National League, American League, as far as who won.
Well, I don't know. I disagree with that. The Cardinals don't win the 2011 World Series without home field advantage.
You don't think so?
Heck no. All the rain delays got their pitching set up. It wouldn't have been raining in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas had the better record. Yeah. They should have had home field advantage.
Yeah
but
and you think about it. Last year, the Cubs should have had home field advantage.
Yeah.
And had they not, they wouldn't have won the World Series because Kyle Schwarber wouldn't have been able to DH for those games. So I think it did have. Not the direct impact that you would think, but if you look, I think, deeper into it, I think you could make a case that it absolutely had an effect.
Sure. Yeah. But it should be an exhibition.
The 2006 Cardinals shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah?
You win 83 games and you got the seventh game of the World Series in your ballpark? Thank you. Thank you, Bud. Thanks, Bud.
Yeah. They didn't get the seventh game of the World Series in their ballpark. 2006 Cardinals. They played
game
five.
They didn't need. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's why like it didn't have as big of an impact as it should have had.
That's right.
You would think, because over that time, gosh, I don't know how many years the American League got home field advantage.
Well, they won it like 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
And the thing that's different about the All-Star game for baseball, and I'll get off the All-Star game here in just a moment, but in NBA basketball, they end up scoring 400 points in a ball game. In the NHL, they end up scoring 50 goals in a game. You know, in baseball, they actually play baseball.
It's the game.
it's the real game.
Yeah.
If these guys compete against each other, and I'll be darned, they don't want to fail.
Did you see the home run derby?
No.
Not this year.
They had the roof closed in Miami. Aaron Judge, the Yankee slugger, he won the whole thing, of course. He hit one off the roof, like out in left field, not like the roof in the infield, the roof in the outfield. They said it wasn't a home run.
It's not dead, Tropicana dead, where the roof is just ball. Too low either.
Dead ball?
Dead ball. That's what they said. That's what they said. The man hit the roof in the middle of left field. Yeah. It would have gone 500 feet. Dead ball.
Wow.
Dead ball.
Wow.
I did hear people advocating that, you know, they need to let, they need to get rid of the rule that you have to wait to throw a pitch until the ball is landed. No, you don't. That's there for a reason. Right. You got to keep these fielders safe.
Oh,
otherwise, it's machine gun practice.
You know, I've talked about this before. Having those little kids out there is such a bad idea.
Yeah,
you've got major leaguers hitting right. Someone's going to get killed. There was a situation this year. A little girl went to catch a line drive, and it was right on camera. She missed the ball, hit her right in the collarbone.
Yeah.
And she bends over holding her arm, and, of course, the camera cuts away. But that is such a bad – you don't – that's unnecessary.
That's
you want – you want the Boys and Girls Clubs of America or whatever, let them sit on the field. Take it in. They don't have to be on the field trying to catch rockets.
And I don't like these tiered deals. If you've got eight home run hitters, put all eight out there and give them the same number of pitches, and whoever ends up with the most is the winner. You don't have to advance through round one, through round two. Let's just put them all out there and just keep hitting home runs, kids.
That's sort of what they used to do, and I think people felt that it kind of drug on. I personally like this format where it's head-to-head.
You have too many people, personally. I think you ought to have two from each league and put them out there and let them go.
Oh, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. And do away with all the tiers and all that kind of crap. Who's leading the pack at the break? You guys are the home run guys going to.
You remember the original home run derby that they had was at Wrigley Field?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, I remember watching this like on ESPN Classic in the day, Henry Aaron and Willie Mays. Like, it's just one guy standing there, one camera, just taking swings.
Yep.
Yeah,
the empty ballpark.
No one there.
Yeah. And they come over and they sit down and talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the one announcer.
That's right. That's how it started. It's gotten a little bigger since.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all about the bumps.
Absolutely. We do need to get to a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a golf tournament.
Okay.
Back to Sports Saturday we go on WSMI FM 106.1, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, special man in studio.
My buddy Jen Cayley is joining us this morning. Gino, we talked about boats and stuff for years and years and years, man, years ago, and now we're going to talk about golf. How you doing, sir?
I've had a great time enjoying golfing.
Enjoying retirement?
Oh, my goodness.
Let me just verify this. You're busier now in retirement than you ever were.
Don't know how I ever held a job.
Gene, tell us a little bit about the golf tournament that's coming up, and of course this is benefiting the Montgomery County Cancer Association. But give us a little bit of history of what were you telling us here.
Okay,
off the air.
Shauna Cotton, which is the granddaughter of the wife, she ran this for 10 years, and she lives up by LeClaire, Iowa, and it's just so much for her to come back and forth and get all the sponsorships. So. And she raised $10,000 last year for MCCA, and it was very appreciated.
Yeah.
And as you know, that money stays locally that volunteer group makes. So my wife and I decided just take it over, and we've got some helpers, you know.
Now, wait a minute. Was it Pat that made the suggestion, or was it you that made it? I bet it was Pat that made the suggestion.
More than likely. But instead of letting it drop, we decided to do this, and we've been working hard on it, and the date is July 29th, and it's on a Saturday, and we've gathered up some real nice prizes from some very generous sponsors. I can give you a little bit of the rules here if you want to hear that.
Okay, yeah.
We always like rules and regulations.
Right.
Because if we don't like one, we can talk about it.
Yeah,
so no.
But the entry is $150 for a two-man team.
Okay.
And you get two mulligans per individual and a free T-shirt, which... We're giving away polyester shirts this year, which golfers like them because they're not as hot and they wick away the sweat, you know.
Sure.
And as a bonus to this, we're giving away four St. Louis Cardinal tickets, and you have to be present to win. And, and these tickets are like $140 a piece, so it's a
good ticket.
There's people going to be golfing to be there for the draw for the Cardinal tickets.
Sure.
So
and that's 2 weeks from today.
Right.
2 weeks from today.
And we start at 9 o'clock. 9 a.m. in the morning, and of course they have plenty of golf carts over at Indian Springs, which that's where it's held. And the girls will be cooking up food after the tournament to feed the golfers. So it's just going to be a good time.
And Indian Springs, great course, but they do such a good job of hosting these types of events.
They do, and the Fullers are so nice, and we're just so fortunate they have that course, and they keep it in beautiful shape.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Indian Springs, didn't they have like the Golf Regional there last year for high school?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it's a good reputation, great course, man. It's always spectacular looking.
It's manicured.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So Gene, what are we looking at here as far as the number of entries? How many spots do you have open? You have plenty of spots open still at this point, or?
I think so. Okay. At this point, Shauna drew 33 teams last year, and we're hoping between 40 and 50 teams, which 50 would be a max because that's how many carts are available.
Okay. So, and if you didn't want to necessarily play golf, there's other ways you could just donate.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Show up at the golf course and partake and grab a sandwich and make a donation.
Presently, we have 20 hole sponsors, which that means they get their name put on a hole and everybody will see that. Plus, their name will be on a T-shirt also.
That's good. And, of course, the proceeds go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association, and you and your wife have been involved with this for a long, long time. And if you've been in a cave and don't know what this is all about, this is an organization which raises an absolutely incredible amount of money every year.
It was $186,000 last year they raised.
It's absolutely incredible from Montgomery County that this sort of fundraising takes place.
And all volunteers.
That's the thing. Every bit of it's done by volunteers.
Right.
And every bit of it stays in the county
to
serve Montgomery County residents. And with the exception, there's a little bit of donation that does go to the American Cancer Society for some stuff, for
research.
Some research and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's there to take care of the citizens of Montgomery County.
Right.
Absolutely incredible. And if, you know, speaking from experience, you know, this is a serious thing. And when you get involved in treatments and stuff like this, you know, it gets expensive. You need rides. You need, you know, and the MCCA is there to help.
Right.
So, and great cause. Yeah. So,
in fact, I'm next Thursday. I'm starting to take a lady to Siteman in St. Louis area for radiation treatment.
Yeah.
So, and that's doesn't cost those patients a cent. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, and that's why the MCCA does its thing. And this golf tournament, 10, 12 years, something like that, has been going on.
This is the 11th year.
11th year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And if people don't want to golf, there's plenty of other ways to help. You have different levels of sponsorships they could get involved with, as well as general donations if they would like.
Right.
What's the best way to do that if people wanted to?
Just get online with the MCCA, and they can email or, you know, whatever, and they'll get a response.
And you're in the book, too, aren't you, bud?
Oh, more than likely.
Somebody knows how to get a hold of you, Gene, that's for sure.
Yeah, my phone number's on the brochure, so I've been getting a few calls.
When you get involved in something like this, Gene, this is and you know, there's a 100 golf tournaments a year for various good causes.
Right.
You know, I happened to be at one last week for the first responders at the Hillsborough Country Club. But you know, this sort of thing, when they put this together and they raise this kind of money for the MCCA, it just kind of tugs at your heartstrings a little bit, doesn't it?
It's very nice.
Yeah. So and again, there's plenty of room available and sign up is what's the cutoff date? Is it?
Well, you could actually sign up this morning, but like to get a shirt and all that.
Yeah.
But you'll always be in on the Cardinal tickets even if you sign up that morning.
Okay, sounds good.
So, when's the Cardinal game? You know when those
we don't know when the date of the tickets are
yet.
I'll be receiving those probably next week.
Okay, sounds good. All right, old Gene, old buddy, sounds like you got things cooking.
Thank you very much.
Looks like you're going to be part of this for a long time.
Oh yeah, and I'll be golfing.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. So who are you partnering with?
Greg Leip. He works over there.
Lippo, okay.
Area.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. And Uncle Ralph used to say Greg liked to have a pork patty or two.
Or two.
Yeah. Uncle Ralph used to say that.
That's Uncle Ralph said. Oh, I know.
That's what you're just quoting Uncle Ralph, our good friend Uncle Ralph. The late Uncle Ralph.
Oh, he used to give Viper all sorts of heck, too,
man,
for his pizza consumption in the Hillsborough press box.
And he's probably listening right now.
I'm sure he is.
He's probably going to be calling us.
That's what Uncle Ralph said.
That's what Uncle Ralph said.
That's what Uncle Ralph said.
Give us your phone number for more information,
okay,
my friend.
217-851-4554.
Okay. And, and by the way, if you didn't catch that number, I've got the brochure out here. I can make sure and get you the number.
Right.
So,
Gene, okay,
thanks for coming by.
Call me anytime.
Hey, good to stick around if you want to stick around, and if you wanted to go ahead and take off, that's fine. But we're going to go ahead and roll on with sports, buddy. And okay. How's your fishing doing?
It's slow. It's summertime fishing is usually slow.
Yeah, yeah. When, once you get to what beyond Labor Day, it picks back
right
up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll have Terry's conversation with Pawnee football coach Tim Crotterville following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. And by the way, we are less than 6 weeks away from Football Friday.
How about that?
Less than 6 weeks away, August 25th, Football Friday. And, of course, we'll have a full compliment of high school football for you on the Italian broadcasting stations. Tim Crotterville is the head football coach at Pawnee High School, and Pawnee has gone into a co-op situation with Lincolnwood High School this year, so it's a little bit different situation for Coach Crotterville. And I had a chance to catch up to Tim a little bit earlier this week, and we spoke about the Pawnee football program and how it ties in with Lincolnwood and how he's trying to generate some interest in the Lincolnwood kids. That head football coach's hat is just one of many you wear.
Well, it is. You know, the summer really has gone by fast. I worked through June, and at the same time we had our off-season workouts, and it's just amazing how quick the summer has gone. I mean, you figure 6 weeks from now, and I think that's opening night for football. So between my regular job of being a principal and football, the summer goes by real quick.
And this year with the football position, you also have a co-op situation with Pawnee and Lincolnwood High School.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. Josh Stone had approached us last year knowing that the co-op situation with Litchfield was ending, and kind of threw out a line out there to see if we were interested. And, you know, Pawnee population-wise, we're pretty steady, but at the same time, it's hard to throw away a great opportunity to work out some co-ops with a great school district in Raymond. And, you know, we jumped on the opportunity and really just trying to build those co-ops between the two school districts. You know, when you look at the communities, we're a lot alike. School districts were a lot alike. So, you know, going into next year, we're going to co-op football and high school girls basketball, and we're actually working on junior high girls basketball as well.
And one great thing I think about the co-op with Pawnee and Lincolnwood is the fact that a lot of these kids have played against each other for forever. I mean, they kind of know each other.
They do. They do. And, you know, there's always been some good, especially if you look at baseball and basketball over the years. You know, it's good competition between the two school districts, and, you know, Raymond's got an outstanding tradition in basketball and soccer and golf. And, you know, I like to think that we've got an outstanding tradition in some sports as well. So any chance, you know, you can merge two good school districts together to try to get athletes out and most importantly, get other athletes involved that might not have been involved. You know, the goal of this co-op is obviously to help us with numbers, but again, to build that relationship. But at the same time, we don't want to hurt the traditions that are in Raymond. You know, we know they have a great golf program and a great soccer program. We're just hoping to hit those kids that don't really participate in either of those two sports and come out and get involved in football.
Have you planned on any sort of outreach towards the Lincolnwood kids, Tim?
We have. I came about three times during the school year and met with the Raymond Lincolnwood kids, try to get some interest going. I know we also are looking at merging our JFL and giving them an opportunity for JFL, and some of those kids have from Raymond have signed up and are going to play JFL with Pawnee. I also recently wrote an article to the paper just kind of trying to introduce our program. I know that with the co-op history for the last more than a couple of years, but if you look at Raymond, unfortunately, they've kind of been bounced around a little bit, the Comis, the Litchfield, and we really want this to work. So in order to do that, anything that we've done is just to try to get that interest. We know that it's going to be a process. you know, when you have a community where football is not, you know, not the king, it's going to take some time to get kids interested and show that, you know, we're in a situation where we want them to be part of our program, and we look at them as equals to Pawnee kids. So we, you know, we start camp coming up this week on Monday from 6 to 8:30 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. And then we're off Thursday and Friday, and we have camp the next week, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8:30. And then we're going to actually at the end of our first official week practice, I was able to arrange with Kendall and Josh Stone the opportunity to come down to Raymond and actually have our first live scrimmage at 10 o'clock behind the school on that Saturday, which I believe is the 12th.
Outstanding. That gives folks in the Panhandle District a chance to have a look up close and personal.
Yeah, and we're excited about it. And we're, you know, like I said, we know this is going to be a process just to show that we're trying to be here for, you know, for the long term and just get kids interested in football again. You know, our numbers this year, we ended up early meetings had a few more kids, and I think sometimes the travel down the Pawnee can scare a little bit of people away, but we've had three solid kids that have shown up to everything off season. We've got a fourth that I think is going to be interested. And, you know, I just want to reiterate to any of the kids in Raymond that want to play, even though you've missed summer stuff, there's still plenty of time to come out and be involved. And whether it's camp this next week or coming out for the first day of practice, the second week of August, you know, there's still plenty of time to come out and be involved in the program.
Plus, the kids that get involved are no doubt those who are really interested. They can come back and with word of mouth kind of spread the word and said, hey, you ought to try this, give this a try.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're hoping happens. That it seems the kids that we've had so far have really enjoyed being part of the program. They have fit right in with our kids in Pawnee. They've been accepted, obviously, very quickly because our kids want this Raymond situation to work as well, because we know in the long run, the more kids out, you know, football is a numbers game. So the more kids out that you have, the better opportunity that you have to be successful. I think this year we're going to be 35 to 40 kids. And, you know, out of those kids, the thing I can't reiterate enough is that they're going to get an opportunity to play. We're not just, you know, trying to bring kids on so that they can fill a roster and look like we got a lot of kids. I mean, we want them to be active participants in our program.
And, Tim, if this continues to go along, you never know, the numbers may increase into the dozens, perhaps, on down the line. How is this going to affect Pawnee as far as the classification is concerned? Because I know you've always been a small school.
We have. And, you know, football in Illinois is changing quite a bit. You know, I never in my lifetime would imagine Mount Olive would be co-oping with anybody, being a diehard Wildcat that I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, the numbers and enrollments are changing. Co-ops, especially in the 1A class system. You know, 1A last year went up to 310 kids, and you know, it didn't seem that long ago when Mount Olive was in the playoffs. You know, you were lucky to get over 200 in class 1A. So I think the number is going to continue to go up, and there has been some chatter that the IHSA is going to redefine classes. Right now, with the numbers of the two schools, it could go either way. We could either be a large 1A school or we could be a small 2A school. The thing of it is, and you know, the communications we've had in Pawnee is, you know, the next couple years, our numbers are going to be down a little bit. And if you don't win five or six games, it doesn't really matter what class that you're in. So we needed to jump on the opportunity that Raymond gave us for the possibility of having some more kids come in. And, you know, I think in the long run, classes are going to change. And I do believe in my heart that once this works and people see that, you know, this is something that's worthwhile being a part of, I think participation will grow.
And it's just all about sticking with it. Man, you got to stick with it. It's just like any athletic endeavor, any career endeavor, you got to stick with it.
I agree, and I think that's part of the skepticism right now. Again, and I mentioned it before, and I kind of mentioned it in my letter, I know that, you know, Raymond kind of feels bounced around a little bit, and I can totally understand skepticism of saying, oh, well, how long is this going to last with Pawnee until they get tired of this? And, you know, we look at our long-term future and think that this is the way that we need to go, and we hope that this can be a long-term relationship in which, you know, Pawnee and Raymond can continue to work together, and most importantly, give kids opportunities. You know, there's track up there. We've talked a little bit between the school districts about, you know, having kids participate in track and cross country. And I know we got kids that are interested in soccer. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there, but it's got to start someplace. And we thought that, you know, girls basketball, since Raymond doesn't have that, and football, again, since Raymond doesn't have that, was a great place for us to start and try to build this relationship.
And, Tim, if you take a step back and you look at all the small school districts you have, you kind of have to stick together. I mean, we really do.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's about the students, whether it be giving them the best academic opportunities, which obviously is the most important. As we know, most kids aren't going to go on and play college sports. So as long as we can have good academics, that's the number one aspect. But, you know, people that minimize extracurriculars and athletics in schools forget how important they really are to the communities and to the school environment. So any chance that, you know, we can, as you said, stick together to create more opportunities and programs for kids is obviously a plus.
And I bet you're chomping at the bit just to get going, aren't you?
I am. You know, I told my wife last night that, you know, on vacation, the worst part of the last couple of days is my mind starts thinking about the next things that I need to do. And, you know, the nervousness a little bit coming into the season has already started, even though it's 6 weeks away. You know, we expect to be pretty good this year, but you never know when you go in. A key injury here or there, and things can change. So, our kids have been working pretty hard. They're excited about coming into the season. Obviously, our expectations are to be very good in the conference and make the playoffs. And that lies squarely on me and my coaching staff to get these kids prepared.
Tim, we wish you the best of luck. It's an exciting time for Pawnee and for Lincolnwood joining forces here. And we look forward to talking to you in the future, my friend. And good luck this season.
Thank you, Tara. I appreciate it always. And, you know, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this co-op between the two school districts. So hopefully things will go well this season.
Tim Crotteville, man of wearing many hats.
And, talented man.
A very talented man and very good guy. And we hope that the co-op works out very well. And, you know, the Prairie State Conference could be kind of a wild and woolly affair this year. So.
And it'll be a different look, yeah, for us with the, what, South Mac Chargers.
Yeah.
Is that what they are? The South Mac Chargers?
Mount Olive and Bunker Hill. And actually, they're going to be under Bunker Hill, I guess.
Oh, officially, as far as the IHSA is concerned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be the, but we're going to call them.
We will call them the South Mac Chargers.
South Mac Chargers. Chargers.
And but if you look for them on IHSA, you'll have to look under Bunker Hill.
Right.
It'll be like Verdon North Mac,
right,
is what it'll be like.
Right. Yeah. Well, and if you go to Mount Olive, I think it says it co-ops with Bunker Hill.
I bet it probably does.
So that, you know, that's kind of an interesting change to the Prairie State Conference this year. So we'll see how it works out, and you know, I hope that the co-op works out well between Lincolnwood and Pawnee. So
I think
you know
will.
they're good neighbors, close, and a lot, most of these, as usual with these small towns, you know, most of these kids have played against each other in various sports since they were 5 years old. So.
Well, and you know this, Terry, one of the issues that the Lincolnwood co-op has kind of bounced around,
yep,
here, went from Nokomis, then to Litchfield for a few years, now to Pawnee. And one of the big issues that I think Nokomis and Litchfield ended up having with the co-op, it was bumping them up a class.
Yes.
That's not going to be the case,
right,
with Pawnee. Pawnee is small enough by itself. Lincolnwood's small enough by itself. They're still going to be,
yeah,
1A. So from that standpoint, I think it'll work better.
And, you know, there's been some talk, and perhaps we'll catch up to Matt Troha next month, who we talk to every year from the IHSA. There's been some talk about kind of reshuffling how they figure the classifications. They basically have a pretty good method where about 25% of the smallest schools are 1A and the next 25% to it. But they may do a little reshuffling, and it could be based on some of the competition levels you play and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's various theories out there. But, yeah, they're small enough. They aren't going to get hurt, I don't believe. And it's an opportunity for kids to participate. And that's really what athletics is all about, you know, a chance to participate. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll be back in a moment.
Cardinal baseball back on the radio for you this evening on our Tally Broadcasting stations on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The pregame will start around 5:10, and they'll look to rebound from a difficult loss last night.
Rough one.
Yeah.
Scored in the first inning and then thought, well, we don't want to score again. You already scored in one inning tonight.
What more do you want?
You know, that's a formula. TV shows use formulas. Movies use formulas. Cardinals do the same thing.
Yeah, but it's a
score
bad formula.
Early, don't score again.
That's been a trend for them.
It has been.
For a while now, where they will score early in one inning and then nothing the rest of the game.
It's a struggle. So, and I don't know. They are quite the enigma.
They really are. They're just not good.
Yeah.
I mean, just to boil it down simply, they're just not good. They don't play. The type of baseball they play does not lend itself to wins.
Well,
they're sloppy.
Yeah. There have been mistakes throughout the organization with this team, and part of it goes to overvaluing certain prospects that you had. Part of it goes to overestimating the manager that you have. I mean, it's just a
long list of problems.
And one thing you brought up when we were just talking, and by the way, folks, we talk baseball every day at this radio station.
Every
I don't care what month it is, we talk baseball every single day that there are people, you know, there are more than one person here, we talk baseball. And we love baseball, and we're tickled to have the Cardinals. But, Tim, you brought up this point when we were talking before we went on the air, Oscar Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
They're still struggling to overcome the loss, whether we want to admit it or not, of what Oscar Tavares was going to mean to this ball club.
It's the Lynn Bias effect.
Yeah.
You think back to what happened to the Celtics. You know, they were getting to the end of the Bird era. They drafted Lynn Bias. Mm-hmm. He was going to be that bridge into the next era of great Celtics basketball. He died tragically, of course, and the Cardinals had it set up that way. Pujols was gone.
Yep.
In comes Oscar. He's going to be the future number three. Because that's what they're missing right now. They don't have that core
threat.
Feared bat.
Yeah.
It was Oscar.
Yeah.
It was Oscar. And they have never been able to replace him. Carlos Beltran, well, I guess you could say that Beltran did that
for
a couple of years.
He was the bridge.
He was the bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But they don't have that guy. And I've told you both of you this forever. I've never been the biggest Stephen Piscotty fan. Dave and I had many conversations about how I thought Piscotty was overrated and wasn't going to be much. And then he got off to the great start, and I looked wrong. We'll see. But Piscotty would look a lot better with Oscar. The whole point of Piscotty was to compliment Oscar.
Yeah.
But without Oscar, now Piscotty, they're trying to turn him into the guy.
Right.
He ain't the guy.
He was never going to be either.
Right.
He was going to be a really good starter for you, a really good producer, but
he
was never going to be that middle of the order bat you needed.
He was like they're talking about now. Well, he's your three-hole hitter. He was never supposed to be that.
Right.
That was not the plan.
And there was
they don't trade for Jason and the ripple effects. They don't trade for Jason Hayward if Oscar's around, which means they still have Shelby Miller.
There was half a season a couple of years ago where I think it was Memphis, the outfield was Stephen Piscotty, Randall Grichuk, and Oscar Tavares. And that looked like your future.
That was a formidable trio.
Right.
And that really dominated the Triple A.
They looked good.
And they looked good. And basically, they were about, expected about the same time, all three to come up at about the same time. So.
And then,
and then Oscar,
passed.
Baseball's lost a lot of young Latin stars recently. Of course, the All-Star game was just in Miami, which reminds everyone about the tragic loss of Jose Fernandez late last year. And
Yordano Ventura.
This year.
Andy Marte.
Yeah.
It's a staggering
list.
It's way too long, unfortunately.
Way too long. So, and to recover from that sort of thing, you almost have to clean the cupboard.
And
you hate to say that because you know with minor exceptions there's maybe two or three people but you know everybody's expendable on that team to be honest with you.
If your name's not Carlos Martinez, you can be had.
Yeah.
If somebody wants you, well listen.
Yeah.
As long as you're not Carlos Martinez, everybody else, well Yadi of course isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But those two, if you're not named Carlos Martinez or Yadi or Molina, you're up.
Yeah.
You're up.
Yeah.
And you know, Cardinal fans have been loyal. Cardinal fans have come to the ballpark in droves. But if Cardinal fans don't get a better brand of baseball, they're not going to be drawing 3.5 million people.
I've turned down two different opportunities to go to Cardinal games in the last few weeks. I'm not spending my money on them.
Yeah. We started seeing last year, they weren't filling the stadium as much as they had been. I mean, last year you saw a lot of empty seats at games that are normally filled up.
And I find it interesting, you know, there are more and more of these $5 game nights and stuff just to make sure that they get people to the ballpark. Right. And of course, once $5 gets you in, but then, of course, you're spending money on
it. And part of it is the rising ticket prices. But to your point, I mean, people aren't going to pay the rising ticket prices if the product isn't there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can listen on the radio. You can watch on TV. Why do you want to go down there?
And by the way, I'm telling you right now, for those of you who can pick up 106.9,
great listen.
It is absolutely great to listen to the Cardinals on that marvelous FM signal.
162 times a year.
Oh, my God. I am spoiled rotten. I love it. It is a crisp sounding broadcast. Yes.
And you know, what the Cardinals have never done is tear down. You know, it's what the Cubs did to get good. It's what the Astros did. Yeah. To get good. The Cardinals have never done that. They've always competed and been able to kind of rebuild and reload simultaneously, which is really hard to do. You wonder if maybe they're getting to the end of that road where they're going to have to make a decision.
It's kind of like, well, we're going to preserve this building. We're just going to keep patching it up and remodeling it. Sometimes it's cheaper just to knock the thing down and build from scratch.
No, that's exactly, you can only put so much money into an old car. Yeah. At some point, you just got to buy a new car.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they have to completely tear down from the aspect that they need to be drafting in the top five every year from that point.
No. But still, I think the attitude has to be we're too status quo.
Right.
Exactly right. A couple weeks ago, there was kind of, are they buyers or sellers? They're not buyers. Not for this year.
Well,
if they're buying, it's for next year to make that club better, not to improve this club to make some sort of run. Now, with that said, I think in 2006, we had a lot of the same type of conversations. You can't trade Colby Rasmus for pitching to help you this year.
That's 2011.
2011, right. They go out and win the World Series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you never know. And with the second wild card, so many different things in play. But it comes down to how are you playing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way they have played, what are they, 43 and 46? They're lucky they're that good.
Kind of uninspiring.
Very uninspiring.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's just,
I would like to plea to my fellow Cardinals fans that Josh Donaldson, we're not giving up the farm for him. Don't say, here's a sheet, fill out your favorite players for Josh Donaldson. The guy's 31 years old, he's got injury problems, he's only under contract for next year. I mean, while he would be what they need for right now, I mean, there are some extenuating circumstances that just don't make sense. Mortgage your future,
yes,
that is.
Take Josh Donaldson's name out. Put in Giancarlo Stanton.
Ding, 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 ding.
Boom.
We have a winner.
Who do you want? Anybody not named Carlos Martinez, you can have for Stanton.
I would put the caveat in there when it comes to, okay, you can have two of Alex Reyes, Luke Weaver, or Jack Flaherty. You can't have all three. You got to leave me at least one of them.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can have two of the three and any of the two you want.
That's right. And then probably a Colton Wong or a Ledmus Diaz.
Yeah. Harrison Bader probably.
But you do what you got to do because that
I would even give you Stephen Piscotty for a major league outfielder.
Take him.
Yeah.
Take him. That if they make that move, that ends the Lynn Bias effect.
Yeah.
Immediately, because there's your core middle of the order franchise player.
This would be similar to what happened when Jack Clark came to the Cardinals back in the 80s. You know, they had a fearsome person right in the middle of the lineup.
I mean, that's what
Jack
they're missing.
The Ripper.
That's what they need. There's nobody that gets the pitcher's knees trembling right now. They got good hitters.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They got a lot of guys who are good hitters.
Well, he's
but they don't have anybody who strikes fear into
him. And he's going to be available because the All-Star game's over, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. And right now, your team's for sale. The Marlins are for sale, and that contract is scaring buyers away.
Plus, let's add one more caveat in there. The Cardinals and the Marlins share the same spring training facility, and so they are familiar, very familiar with each other, not only personnel, but front office people. You would have to assume that.
You know, and from a PR standpoint, if the Cardinals brass wants to get the fans off their back for the next few months, make that move.
There you go.
I wonder if the Cardinals would also be able to get Christian Yelich in the same deal, because the Phillies are talking about getting both of them because of the contract. You know, we'll throw in Yelich to take on that massive contract.
Hmm.
Okay.
Interesting.
You want to give me two all-star outfielders? All right, I'll take it.
That's interesting.
We'll see what happens. I personally will be surprised
I would be shocked
if the Cardinals pull that off. But
it's unlikely, but I mean, it's been talked about with the Phillies. So
nothing wrong with hoping.
Well, hey, we're not in your division. Why not?
That's what makes baseball great. Hope springs eternal.
That's exactly
right.
It
really does.
From Pittsburgh tonight, live at 5:10 a.m., 1540 and FM 106.9.
Thanks to Gene Cayley and to Tim Cronenberg for joining us on the Sports Show.
We'll be at Party in the Park next week in downtown Litchfield. For David and Terry, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.